Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's the Final Fantasy VI podcast here on Post Show Recaps, coming to you live from Solitary Island in the World of Ruin. I'm Josh Wiggler. Oh, I just feel so sick, and the only thing that's going to heal me is fish. Brooklyn Zed, get me fish.
Eat up, Granddad.
Help. Oh, my God. I don't think I'm going to recover from this. Today, I feel pretty good.
This looks like the end for me.
Well, it's not quite the end for the Final Fantasy VI coverage here on Post Show Recaps, but by golly, are we pushing towards it as the world, Zed. It's ended.
Yeah. It's ended. The map has been restructured what? To a point where I will never remember where anything is.
Can I ask a question? What happened to the ocean? Why is it like sickly purple now?
And the serpent trench is on the surface.
Yeah.
The surface. A lot of weird, I don't know, climate trench. Change?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Final Fantasy VI is a metaphor. I think is the take here. It was a really ahead of its time, Final Fantasy VI, when it arrived in the mid-90s, once upon a time, and I think called its shot on, like, the Kefkas of the world, Zed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
They were like, we're going to do a lot of movies in this video game, and we're going to have a very queer-coded villain, and we're going to destroy the planet.
Yeah, planet's going to get effed up beyond recognition. And, you know, we talked about this a bit last time on the most recent episode of the podcast. We went up to the floating continent in the sky. Everything went haywire. And now we get to live in a bit of the aftermath. And this is when we played Final Fantasy II, we talked about this a bit. The original Final Fantasy II, and we did those podcasts, said, and the game, there's a point where the world is pretty ravaged and like you can't go into towns. And like a lot of the towns, when you do go into them, have been like destroyed. Mm-hmm. And I think that that was sort of like the prototype for the idea that we get here in Final Fantasy VI, where everything is like really radically morphed. And the final acts of this game are basically like you're now playing a kind of a totally different game. Many of the like the mechanisms they've introduced throughout Final Fantasy VI up to this point somewhat prepare you for the open-endedness of the final portion of FF6. But it's a huge creative swing that I think really works for some people and maybe doesn't work so well for others. And I have found myself on both sides of that over the years.
Yeah, it kind of turns into like a scavenger hunt puzzle game for the
it's
majority.
It's like a choose your own adventure.
Yeah. I don't think there's as much story in like the next section of what's happening. There's a lot of talk to all the people in the town so that one of them's going to tell you, oh yeah, I saw a guy run through here who was looking for somebody by your description, but he's gone already. And if you head north, you'll get to this place. And that's kind of how you have to like connect the dots and fill in the blanks to go find your people. But that's what the majority of the next part is go find all your people.
Yeah. I mean, basically, you are in the spirit of does this game have a main character or not? You are basically left to assemble with there's a couple of obligatory characters that you have to get. There's three. You have to have Celis. You have to have Edgar. You have to have Setzer. You do not have to have anybody else. You could beat the game with just those three.
That's wild.
Yeah. But you have to have all three of them. They're the mandatory characters for this portion of the game. But every other character in the game is no longer mandatory. I imagine that Terra factors into the ending no matter what. But everybody else doesn't have to be there. And so the game basically puts the onus on you of like, do you want to save the world and do you want to like restore some hope to this world that seems completely hopeless? Well, good luck. That's a lot of hard work, but if you do it, you
sure
can do
is.
It. And so again, Final Fantasy VI, it's a metaphor.
Would you like to add two more characters two-thirds of the way into this game?
I don't know that we're going to talk about them too much today, but gosh, do I have a lot of thoughts about the fact
they're
that
coming.
You've got 12 characters in Final Fantasy VI, or 14 if you want to seek out two completely optional and missable characters. Absolutely incredible. Shouts to my guy Umaru the very nebulous, strange, underground-dwelling mimic Gogo, who I can't wait to talk about Gogo's dungeon. I think I want to save that for next week because I'm just going to have to like scream about that for a while. I don't have that energy today. So we're going to talk about all of the mandatory portions of the World of Ruin today. And then I think some of the optional stuff that's part of this initial story of like accepting what has happened to the world and deciding to try and do something about it is sort of where we wind up. Here, of course, Brookwood Zed, you have played through Final Fantasy VI all the way already. There is video on demand of your playthrough of FF6 over at twitch.tv/hardrockhope, if I am not mistaken.
Yeah, they may be gone from the Twitch channel by now, but they are all on YouTube. Hard Rock Hope on YouTube, bit.ly/hardrockhope, because I don't have enough people to have my own unique YouTube URL yet. But
bit.ly works.
Bit.ly works.
Yeah.
If you look for me anywhere, you'll find it.
Yes, yes. It's out there. So if you want to watch any of Zed's playthrough of FF6, I don't know if we're going to get through them today, but are there any like especially exasperated World of Ruinisms that people should be looking out for with you?
Not that I recall specifically. I know that the Edgar fight that we're going to talk about today was a big stumbling block.
Yeah.
I hate that fight.
Yeah, sure.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
But no, mostly okay. People gave me a really hard time for how things turned out with Cid, but I didn't know.
Okay, well, so this is what we have to talk about. So when we begin this portion of the game, some time has passed since Kefka took control over the Warring Triad, these three statues that are the statuely forms of gods who froze themselves in statue form in order to achieve some level of neutrality in the world. And if they were ever moved out of position with each other, the world would fall to ruin. And here we are literally in the World of Ruin, which I don't know if any other people who played FF6 when it initially came out experienced this as well, but I think that it may have been even like the handbook for FF6 that had like the world map for World of Balance and a world map for World of Ruin. So like heading into the game, like, okay, well, at some point there's going to be something called the World of Ruin, and I didn't know what that was going to be, but there was like kind of spoilers for the fact that Kefka would win at least for a bit. Mm-hmm. I'd be curious if anyone else had that same experience. But some time has passed since Kefka has taken control of these statues, has destroyed the world, shot lasers all over the place, and has huge tectonic shifts. It seems like, Zed, looking at the World of Ruin map versus the World of Balance map, that like maybe like whole swaths of land have just like sunk into the ocean.
Yeah, I think so. That seems to be the case. There's like the one small land bridge of the Serpent Trench that gets you from one place to another. But there's a lot of water on this map. The seas are rising, literally bringing the Serpent Trench to the surface.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you can see the Serpent Trench on the world map and it looks like a serpent. It's, you know, very much as advertised. The ocean itself looks a lot like the water supply at Doma when Kefka poisoned it. Mm-hmm. I think that feels probably intentional if you want to do your own headcanoning. A lot of fun headcanoning this portion of the game, I will say.
Yeah, I think you gotta, because like there's a lot of things that do not get filled in for you.
Pieces that need to be connected together. The foliage basically doesn't exist. I'm just looking at the world map right now. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 13 little patches of forest, but like they're all small. There's no sprawling woods anymore. Lord knows what the F happened to the Phantom Forest. That's gone. And then all of like the grass seems very drab, dry. Yeah. Like there is like the color palette of the World of Ruin really speaks to the level of decay of this place.
Yeah, it's much more, it's far less lush than it used to be. That is for sure. Once upon a time in the world of balance, there was the Veldt was like the only area that was that kind of light green color, and all the other land was darker green. And now there's a lot more of that light green color, and also a lot more like rocky looking patches, basically. Yes. Where there is nothing growing at all, but it's not mountains. It's just rocky earth.
Yeah. It's just like, it's just land. It's just like dirt. It's like gravel. Kefka loved gravel, big gravel guy. And so this is where we spend the remainder of the game, is in this just like totally destroyed landscape of the of what I think is a really fun world map, even if the traveling on the world map in vehicle form can be exhausting. I think the world map of FF6 tends to be pretty cool. But when we begin, we are on an island, literally, not a metaphor. This is a real island. It's called Solitary Island. And we open with Celeste is the only character that we have access to, who I don't know if you've been using a decent amount of at this point in the game. If you haven't, good luck. It's pretty hard if you haven't been using Celeste at all. And she wakes up and she's with her grandpa. She's with
this is
Sid.
So weird. This conversation makes me so uncomfortable.
She wakes up, she's on the beach, and she's been asleep for a full ass year. Celis has, and Grandpa Sid in his banana suit has been taking care of her for a year. He's like, I've always thought of you as a granddaughter. She says, can I call you Grandpapa? Because I like that. Ugh. Yes,
so unsettling to me.
Yeah.
She's gonna do that, and it's like immediate. She just like starts calling him granddad, and he's like, oh, I like that, okay. And then she will not call him anything else.
Yeah, granddad, everything okay? Uh-huh. Well, my stomach does hurt.
I haven't eaten in 3 days.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I'll go get you food. What do you want? Well, if I don't ask for fish, I won't get anything.
We only have fish. There's only fish. And so on the solitary island, you are surrounded by fish. And so there's fish on the beach, and you as Celis are charged with getting fish to feed granddad. And you've been asleep for an entire year, and now you're up and going fishing, and Sid has taken this opportunity to crawl back into bed. It's like, well, I've probably been wrecking my back sleeping on the floor this whole year, working on rafts and such. He says there's like no telling if there's any world outside of the island. Who can say? And as far as he knows, all that exists anymore is this place after Kefka ruined it. He does seem to have some knowledge of like what the world might be like beyond the solitary island that perhaps does not totally add up to me if Sid has had no experience off the solitary island. I think in my head, canon said, I think Sid has maybe been like taking a couple of trips into Miranda here and there.
Well, the game does this funny thing that makes me very suspicious of him, where when you come back into the cabin, half the time he's like standing up, and then his sprite just like slides across the screen into the bed. And I'm like, this all feels like a giant ruse to me.
Yeah.
Like, yes. It's hard to take anything Sid says at face value. He was not the greatest guy to begin with, and now this all feels very suspicious.
Yes. So it is a little sus, so to speak. But Celis is now your main character, and you have to go and you have to fish for Granddad, and you've got two choices. You may not know that you have two choices, Zed, but you do have two choices, and your choices are you can feed Granddad a bunch of fish and nurse him back to health because he's been falling sick. Or you can feed him poisonous fish and kill your granddad. Those are the
far
two
more
choices
likely
that
in my
have.
Experience.
Yeah. So what happened with you?
I have now killed Sid twice.
I killed granddad. Is yeah. What happened.
And the second time I was trying not to, but it is very hard to tell the fish apart.
Yes.
You want to give him the fast fish. I know that. That's the delicious fish. But which fish is the foul-tasting fish, which is the one that's going to kill him,
yeah.
is much harder to determine. And it feels like if you don't eventually give him all the fish, you're just going to be there forever.
I don't quite know what I did right. I didn't kill Granddad on my recent playthrough. I pretty much always do. But I think I was so like the fish in the ocean are either really slow or really fast. And I would go for the really fast ones because I think that those are the healthy ones.
Those are the delicious fish.
Yeah. And you feed him enough of those. And eventually he's like, I'm starting to feel like my old self again. But then if you feed him all the other ones, he starts being like, I don't know if I'm going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent, I think, like 20 minutes doing this.
It feels so... I was doing that, too. I was, like, on my second... My first playthrough, I just gave him all the fish because I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to do that.
Right.
This time, I specifically was giving him, like, one fast fish at a time. And I was like, what am I going to do? Spend the next hour giving him a single fish at a time so
right.
that he can live, and then I still have to go do all the other same things I was going to do before? Like, I guess I don't have the patience to nurse Sid back to health like he did for Celis.
Yeah, but I was like, at a certain point, I was like, I think I'm making strides. He seems to be saying the right things. And then I would feed him another fish, and then he started saying the wrong things. I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to let him die then. Like, I'm just going to go and get him bad fish and let him die. And then he wasn't dying fast enough. I was like, well, shit. Well, fine. Then I'll try and feed him the good stuff. And it was just like this vicious cycle. That continued for far too long. Not my favorite part of this game for sure.
Well, because the issue too is like once you've picked up the fish, you have to give it to him.
Yes.
There's not an option to like get rid of it.
Right.
Once you realize it's not a good fish.
Right.
Once you have it, he's gonna eat it.
He'll eat it. You can't get rid of it. You have to serve it up to him. So then one of two things happens. You feed him the right fish and he gets better and he says, so something I've been working on that I probably should have disclosed before is a raft with which you can go out to the mainland and maybe find your friends. And
now that I've held you captive until you caught me better,
do something about this. So if you keep him alive, he'll show you the way to a vessel with which you can return to the world. But if you feed him only bad fish, he dies. And Celis takes it very poorly. And there's this very, very dramatic sequence of Celis like feeling like she's all alone on solitary island. And does something pretty drastic, especially for a video game for children, ostensibly.
Yeah. She is going to walk up to the top of the island and like up a cliff and like consider ending her life.
She jumps.
Yeah,
she does jump and she survives. And I think that because I haven't played this part in a minute. Does she like wind up like washing back ashore on the beach? Like, how does that play?
Yeah, she's on the shore, and there's one of the classic white birds, the only messengers in the game, with a ribbon tied around it. And Celis is like, oh, someone else is alive. I must go find him. I think it's supposed to be Locke's bandana. And so she goes down into the basement of Sid's house
where she finds the raft.
This raft that I guess she then by herself hauls up two flights of stairs.
Yeah.
And launches herself into the ocean.
Listen, don't discount Celis. She's a former general of the Empire. She's a rune knight. You know, she rocks. She can take a raft all on her own. It's no problem.
Raft travel not known to be the most reliable of conveyances.
No, but it does end up working out for her. And so whether or not you saved Cid's life, she is going to leave one way or the other. This whole sequence, though, was very profound as a kid playing this game, being like,
it's really intense.
I was like, wait, what's happening? And like, I think like I put it together and I was like, mom, I need an adult. It's very mature subject matter for a video game. And I mean, the Final Fantasies do go here, but like for like a 32-bit video game, you know, with these graphics, it was a lot.
A 10-year-old child did also already threaten to jump off a cliff.
True. So. Yeah. But that was presented cartoonishly, Zed. So I don't think that I really tracked that was anything super serious.
Okay. You know,
there's a cartoon octopus on the screen. How seriously am I supposed to take it?
I guess.
In that moment in time. You know, this was really intense though. And so now you're Celis and like, okay, well, I'm off Solitary Island and I'm on the main continent now. Now what? And so the game, there are things that you absolutely have to do in order to progress, but there is no hand holding here.
Nope.
There is no no real indication of what it is you're supposed to do.
It's just sort of like go to the places on the map that you can see the little dots, because they do give you the dots of locations.
Yeah.
And then talk to people and try and figure some things out.
Yes. Which I think is aggravating for a lot of people. It was definitely aggravating for me as a kid. Now that I know it better, I think it's actually kind of fun, sort of the spirit of adventure to this second part of the game. But it could be like really, really confusing if you have no idea where to go. And I think one of the things that's like kind of ironic about it is you're on Solitary Island, you make it to the mainland, and you are right at Kefka's tower. You know, you are you just wash up on the continent where Kefka is lording over everything from his giant tower. You just can't access it because it's not something you can walk into. But you're at the end of the game now. Effectively, like physically, literally, geographically,
visually,
you're at the end of the game.
Yeah, I like the putting the puzzle together. I like a puzzle that makes some sense. Unlike, I don't know, Chrono Cross, maybe.
Sure.
But the thing for me is that it is basically a puzzle and not really a story anymore. It is largely just go find the people. It is not a whole lot happening until you reach the end game.
Yeah. A lot of that's why for me, like a lot of it has to become like, what are you sort of like reading into your interpersonal, you know, interactions with your fellow travelers. And like a lot of that for me is like sizing up the party the way that I want to size them up. That ended up being tremendously satisfying for me on this go around. But yeah, in terms of like things that you mandatorily have to do, you basically have to get to the top of the Serpent Trench, which takes a really long time to travel to on foot. And potentially, you only have Celis in your party. And even I think if you had done like significant amounts of playing with Celis and she was like fairly powerful at this point, she's not like really up to snuff all on her own against the kinds of enemies you encounter.
It's tough.
The random encounters are tough right now.
They are, and there's like not a lot you can do about it. You have a lot of ground to cover. And I went to like not the correct place first, at least this time.
Yeah.
And had to backtrack. So I got on a chocobo for literally the first time. And I was like, I cannot do this all the way back and up the other direction.
Totally fair.
I know in my first playthrough, I didn't find Tara for a very long time. And like you asked me at one point if I had found where she was hanging out. And I was like, no, not yet. But everybody in the chat says that's okay. This time I found her like too soon. And I only had Celis and Sabin in my party.
Yes.
And trying to fight Humbaba with just the two of them was a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah.
To the point where like I fortunately had a save file where I could still nope out of there before that auto like triggered. Otherwise, I don't know what I was going to do.
You'd have been stuck.
Yeah, cuz that fight triggers in the town.
Mm-hmm.
You're not on the world map.
Right.
So you can't get out to the world map.
Always be Sabin.
Yikes.
You know?
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, big yikes. The game does offer you like, okay, so if you want to play this on real hard mode, then just do the mandatory stuff and just be Celis for a while. If that's just a little too hard, why don't we hook you up with the objectively strongest character in the game, at least up to this point, until you can start like customizing people. So you are, when you land, not far away from your hometown, Zed, Albrook.
Yeah.
Albrooklyn Zed. You do not have to go in there, but if you go in there, immediately some sort of like loud collapse and crash occurs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole ass house has fallen. And here is Sabin, wandering self-exiled prince of Figaro,
holding up a house.
Holding a whole house. He's like doing like a wall squat with a house. And he's like, oh, Celis, what's up? It's been a whole year.
Yeah.
He's like, hi, you have a house on you. He goes, yeah, I know. I think there's a kid inside.
Yeah. She's like, can I help you? And he's like, no, not before you go get the kid inside.
Yeah, go get the kid, maybe. You're like, okay, you're going to be able to hold this up. He's like, yeah, for 5 minutes, though.
Like, if you go.
Yeah, if you go right now. I got 5 minutes of holding this house. I'm not a god, but I'm pretty close, but only 5 minutes. That's all I can do. So now you have one of these timed events where you've got 5 minutes to go into the house and like you want to get some treasures because there's some good treasures here, I think. But some treasure chests, I think, have monsters in them. Mm-hmm. And the enemies in here are also tough. I died a bunch. I had to autosave a ton. And so that like I would try and like fight through things, but when I would die, then I would like restart at the autosave and then just know to run away from a battle. Because I was just not strong enough with Celis only yet.
Yeah.
It's hard, especially with the timed component. It's like it was not easy.
I don't like timed things.
Yeah.
They stress me out.
Yeah. So you have to like go in and you gotta save this kid and you leave with this kid and like the parents are like barely grateful for your assistance here. That's tough times here in the world of Ruin. You know, everyone's got a hard time right now. But Sabin's like, hey, what's up? It's cool. This is great.
Yeah, like you come out and they're like, about time.
Yes.
It's like, okay, well, excuse me.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's kind of rude. No F's to give anymore. No idea what that's like. So Sabin's like, oh, this is so good to see you. I thought that everyone died. I've just been kind of here. And she's like, well, if you're alive and I'm alive, then maybe the rest of our friends are also alive. Mm-hmm. And Sabin's like, seems to hold up. I still have no story left. So if you want me to just like come and support you, and find our friends and support them too, I'm totally happy to do that. And you go, yes, that's exactly what I would like. And so now Sabin is your first pickup in the world of Ruin. Doesn't have to be, but I think the game is very kind to give you this option right away.
Yeah, I mean, they drop you off at what is clearly a town.
Yes.
And instinct would dictate you go in there and see what's going on.
I think that they leave it optional so that if you want like an extreme challenge, you can do that. You can just run as Celis for a very long time. I bet that I have not gone deep into like the culture of like Final Fantasy VI
speed running
or challenge runs or anything like that, but I am sure that there is a whole culture around like just playing as the three that you need to get in the world of Ruin, two of whom are I'm sure characters that you're thrilled you have to pick up, Zed. Of all 12 characters, these are the ones. So you get Saban. That's great. And now things are a little less hairy as you are moving around through the world. One thing that I do think is interesting about the game design at this point, and that you are ostensibly only having to play as Celis, but even with Saban, if you want to pick him up, is that the degree of difficulty has just increased so much, as we've said, that I think that that is meant to like mimic the experience of what life must be like in the world of Ruin now.
Yeah.
I like that idea. I like that way of like, let's make the game feel like it would feel like, let's make playing the game feel like what it would feel like to live in the world of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one thing that they do pretty effectively well here.
Yeah, I've just been peeking at my VOD from playing through this the first time, and I absolutely just ran away from all the fights in the house. Because and I didn't do that this time around, and I was like, how did I do this? Because the scorpions that you fight are difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot.
They're hard. They're hard, and like Celispa's gone for a while.
You didn't have access to her for a good amount of time, so she was not in your core party. I have, you know, all these characters that were up to like, you know, 1500 HP or something, and when I got her back this time, she was at like 600 something, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be bad.
It's brutal. It's very hard. So pick up Saban unless you really want a challenge. So when you have Saban, you have like basically no real option other than to sort of travel northeast across a land bridge where now you're on the above the ocean floor serpent trench, where it is, you know, it looks like a dragon, which is no coincidence, I'm sure, considering that, by the way, when the world ended and tectonic shifting happened, all these dragons were loosed upon the world.
Yeah, you know.
As it happens, and if you want to play this game to completion, you're going to have to go dragon hunting at a certain point.
Eight dragons, and if you defeat all of them, then Crusader shows up.
Yes, the best Esper in the game, apparently. Which you get, you can only get when you've gone into the final dungeon to like a significant degree, at which point for me, I'm like, well, why do I care now? You know, if I'm here, I don't really care.
Yeah, the game loves to keep giving you things like way later than
it's too late, game. You should have given me Crusader earlier. I no longer care.
Do you want
care.
More friends? Oh, yeah. Do you want more Espers?
You know what? I'm an adult, game. I don't need any more friends. I've got all the friends I'm gonna need. So you have to cross onto this dragon-like stretch of land. And you could either go right or you can go left. It's like a fork in the road. You don't have a GPS telling you necessarily which way you're supposed to go. Your GPS is busted.
Yeah.
If you go right, you wind up in Mobley's, which was the town of the Veld once upon a time, and it is no longer attached to the Veld. And it is effectively a ghost town. There's like no one here. Except that there is a basement populated by children and two adults, a man whose name is, what is his name? Dwayne, I think.
Yeah, Dwayne and Hilda. These are the teenagers that are like outside of the soldier's house.
Yeah.
They're making out in the corner and want you to go away if you try and talk to them.
Yes.
And now, I think it's Hilda, but Dwayne and his partner are now expecting a baby.
Yes. Is there Katarina? Does that ring a bell?
Oh, that might be right.
Katrin.
Yes.
Dwayne and
yes.
Katrin. Yes. Okay.
That's right.
So yeah, that like all that. Listen, Final Fantasy VI coming out hard against teenage lovemaking, it would seem.
But now they're running an orphanage, so you know.
They've grown up real quick. They have a new baby on the way, but a lot of babies to take care of right now. And we do see this scene, like this flashback to what it was like on the day of Kefka, from their perspective, as like a laser like shot across Mobley's, created this huge like trench in the ground, and these kids watched as their parents like plummeted to their doom. which is horrifically bad. And so they have been living here in what's left of Mobley's with Dwayne and Katrin and at least one other grown up. This is where Tara has gone to. So you don't need to encounter Tara at this point in the game yet, but you can. And I think it's interesting that they let you have access to Tara right now, but they are also demonstrating something to you at this point in the game of like, you may know where your friends are, but you don't necessarily know how to get your friends to like get the fight back in them. Because Tara is like, I care about these kids. I've been looking for love this whole time. And I think I love like this family that I found here. And I don't know that I want to fight anymore. I think I kind of just want to like protect them and not leave this place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're all calling her mama.
Mama.
And I think even even Dwayne and Katrin are like, you can't take mother from us.
Yeah.
Because they're teenagers. They're not like real adults. Not that Tara is. She's like in her early 20s, I feel like.
I'm sure over the course of like FF7, we've talked about this. Like,
yeah.
Like if you're old, if you're like an old ass character in Final Fantasy VII, like you're 28, you know?
Yeah.
So like Tara's.
This is like, 19th century age rules.
Right. Tara's probably.
You're getting married at 13.
Yeah. Tara's like a 16 year old adult. You know, who's got like 2 years left to live, you know?
Dwayne's like, I'm not ready to be responsible for children. Yeah. You can't take this woman away from us.
Yeah, Dwayne's like, I'm 12. You know, so Tara is like the woman who's kind of like running this place. And as you mentioned, there is like this monster that routinely comes to Mobley's and terrorizes the place. I remember him as Poon Baba, was what I think he used to be called. He's now called Hoon Baba. Is that right?
Yeah.
I feel like
Hoon Baba.
Poon Baba, I think, is what they had called him once upon a time. Hoon Baba is what they call him now, I suppose. I feel like there's even other names for him. I don't know. But he's just like this giant, like, horned, gross-looking, green naked guy.
Yeah.
But gosh, put some clothes on, Hoon Baba. Don't you know there's children here?
Yeah. He's a little bit like the, like, Mucinex characters.
Yeah. He's like a little slime troll.
Yeah.
He's like, sup, Mobley's.
Uh-huh.
I've come to raid your village again. And everyone's like, no, so all right, masks up.
In my first playthrough, I didn't find Tara for the longest time. Yeah. So when I did this fight, it was fine. But when I was doing it yesterday, I was in trouble.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, okay, nope, not now. Now is not the time. Bye. Yeah.
I mean, like, Hoon Baba, Final Fantasy VI is a metaphor. So is Hoon Baba. He's COVID-19. You know, all of these people are living in their house, and the second that they go outside their house, the COVID monster shows up, and it's Hoon Baba. It's like, no, go back inside. We're not ready to fight this yet. We need time to develop our powers against this monster. So, if you, like, fight it now, you can, like, survive the fight. You know, Saban is especially strong. But even if you beat Hoon Baba now, like, what is beating Hoon Baba? Because Tara is still like, see, I can't leave. These kids need me. Like, this thing is going to keep coming back. So that's what happens if you find Tara now. It's just too early for Tara to come with you. I think that that's a cool choice on the part of the game of, like, like, thanks, but no thanks. Like, life is hard right now, and I have to, like, you know, protect my peace, and this is my peace. And so, you know, whether or not you want to do any of this, I think is totally dependent on, like, what you want to get out of the story. I think the story of Tara, for me, is a little more powerful if you encounter her now and realize that she's like, no, I'm not feeling like coming with you. I signed on for the Returners, and I didn't feel great about it then, but I did it because I thought I could help. Now look at the world. It didn't go so great. So this time I'm choosing not to fight, and I want you to respect my decision.
I'm going to take care of children. That's definitely a good thing. And I'm going to stay in this house, and I'm going to take care of these kids.
That's what I'm going to do.
I'm not messing with any of that other stuff anymore.
No, I'm done. You hear me? I'm done. Well, we're not done, Zed. There's still so much more World of Ruin to explore and a couple of mandatory pickups that we have to do now, which we will pursue. The enigmatic man known as Jared on the other side of this commercial break. Stay tuned. All right, Zed, when we return to Final Fantasy VI, we leave Mobley's if you've gone to Mobley's. Now you go and like you take the left at the fork in the Serpent Trench. Or if you've been to Mobley's, maybe like pick up a chocobo and just ride the rest
of the
way.
That is definitely what I did this time. Yeah, I was like, wow, I hiked all the way over here and look at how far I have to go.
Yeah. You just like you go and you pick it up and like you just head on over to the next town. It's very kind of the game to let you just have like an easy ride, an easy-ish commute to the next mandatory section of the thing. As you're going, you do pass this other tower that's surrounded by mountains. You can't access it. You're like, oh, what's in there? There's a lot of just like things in the game. We're like, oh, what's that? I can't touch that right now, but I kind of want to know what that is. Well, that's where that's a really annoying part of the game that you're looking at right there, unless you know how to punk it a little bit. So you go further and you end up reaching, I believe the town is Nikea, like an IKEA, but without any Swedish meatballs.
Yes. No Swedish meatballs,
but potentially a Figueroan meatball known as King Edgar, who for whatever reason, Zed, has decided, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm Gerald. I'm definitely not this guy you think I am. I'm Gerald. Can't you tell that I'm sure I look a lot like the King of Figaro? But my color palette.
My name
palette,
might be an anagram for Edgar, but
my color palette is totally off. Yeah. How dare you?
And I'm, oh no, everyone hits on women like this. That's just common courtesy.
That's what he says,
not
right?
A, He's not like, an Edgar trait.
Yeah. No. This is just dudes.
Yeah.
This is just boys being boys.
Sprightly finger wagging.
Yeah. So sassy the finger wags in this game.
Yeah.
This game has a lot of dude.
It definitely does.
Yeah, it's pretty rude and tooty. So this is Gerald. It's like, yeah, is it Gerald or is it Gerard?
It's Jared.
It's just straight up Jared. Okay.
Yeah.
G-E-R-A-D. Yeah, right.
Five letters that could also spell, I don't know, Edgar.
How do we feel about King Edgar's disguise here? Should he have tried harder? It does seem like it works for these pirates that he teams up with.
Yeah, he's become like the leader of a gang of thieves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's got the inside info on how to get into the castle to steal all the treasure.
Yeah.
I think he just wants to get back to the castle.
Pretty clearly. Yeah. He's like, the world has gone to shit. I am separated from all of my stuff. And what I would really like is the ability to just, you know, return home. I'd like to go back home. I'd like to be back with my stuff. My castle can move, so maybe like it could move to a place that will be useful for us. That's all that I want out of life anymore. And
but
so
the castle is stuck.
Well, at a certain point, it sure is. So he's gonna go and he's gonna board a ship to South Figaro with his pirate crew. And this is another way in which it's like really telling that Sabin is not mandatory. He has like no really extra special character interactions with Edgar here. You know, like the relationship between Edgar and Sabin at this moment in time is non-existent because like the game's script is not sophisticated enough to like have they don't have like branching paths for if you have Sabin or if you don't. We just have to like assume like we just have to write a script that's sort of like going to be like generically satisfying in either direction. Mm-hmm. So that's a little whatever. But yeah, you follow Edgar on the pirate ship. You go to South Figaro. He goes through the cave. I think that you run into Ziegfeld in the South Figaro cave, right? He's like, don't worry, I'm getting all the treasure.
Well, he's like outside and he's like, dangerous stuff up ahead. Let me go take care of it.
I'll take care of it.
You stay here.
Yeah, you just hang out.
And then you're going to hop across a turtle.
Yeah, you do. Remember the turtle in like the healing pool in South Figaro? Well, here it is. Now you know what it's here for. It's to be like, hopped upon.
Why is there a turtle and I can't talk to it? I can't do anything?
No.
Oh, no, you're just going to use it as a stepping stone later.
Yeah, it's a hop, skip, and a jump away, this turtle. And so you just jump on the turtle and go through. And so now you are in Figaro Castle, and the treasure room is, I guess, in the engine room of Figaro Castle. And there are monsters everywhere, so you have to be fighting your way to the engine room of Figaro Castle.
Mm-hmm. With either just Celis or Celis and Sabin, and even still, it's just tough to only have two characters, even if they are pretty bulked up, because there's just a limited place for damage to go.
Yeah.
And if one of your characters is always healing, then you have limited damage output. So it's a constant balancing act.
The game
but we're
is
in the world of ruin, not the world of balance. Oh,
the
no.
The game is crushing right now. It is it is ruinous in many ways. It's, you know, punitive. Like, even like talking about like the turtle skipping stone, that used to be a healing spring and it doesn't heal you anymore, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think
like,
so either.
Man, I really could have used like the HP MP upgrade. No, sorry. We're just trying to go out of our way to like make this really challenging and difficult for you. Cool.
Yeah,
thanks.
I find it very crucial to have everyone learn Osmos as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Because then in some ways you sort of have infinite magic and therefore infinite healing.
Yeah.
Because you can absorb MP from enemies. And then you can heal forever, and then you can absorb MP, and then you can heal forever, which helps save resources when you may have limited access to them.
Yeah.
But that's a time-consuming process in and of itself.
Yeah, it is. You go deeper into the engine room, Zed, and eventually there's like these like fire tentacle-type creatures, and it's just Jared. And you're like, hey, do you want to admit that you're Edgar? Yeah, he's like, yeah, fine, I'm Edgar. Could you help? Please, yeah. God, I'm about to be consumed by fire monsters.
Well, because he sends all the thieves off. He's like, you guys go get the treasure and I'll fight this thing.
Yeah.
Maybe could have used some more manpower on fighting this thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a pile of tentacles.
Yes.
With four specific elemental based, each a different element tentacles.
Yes.
That are going to grab you and sap all your energy.
Yeah. Yes.
Horrendous.
Horrific. Not great. Not
like,
ideal.
Oh, you're going to grab all my players and I'm just going to have to sit here and watch while you kill them. And I literally can't do anything about it. Fun. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sucks. This one sucks. This one's hard. A lot of it, like, just use like auto crossbow. I think like Sabin has one relatively useful attack here. Is it like his Razor Gale? I think is probably pretty good because it'll attack a bunch at once.
Yeah, I think I found that the right approach for me was actually focusing on them one at a time.
Interesting.
Because narrowing down how many options there are to grab you is helpful. So once you can figure out an element of a tentacle, then you can exploit its weakness in the opposing element and take them out pretty quickly. Whereas if you're using those AoE attacks, you're doing like hundreds of points of damage, but they're all going to stick around for a while. And then all of a sudden, all of your characters have been grabbed again. And
yeah.
You're just waiting it out.
Cool. Cool, cool, cool.
Yeah.
That's great. So eventually you do defeat it. And afterwards you're like, so, Edgar, and he looks at you, he's like, how did you know? How did you know? How did you know it was me this whole time? I changed my hair. I changed my armor a little bit. I even changed my name to Jared.
Yeah.
And somehow you knew.
Because you look the same.
Because you're the same. Because it's
and
cause
you
you're,
act exactly the same.
Because it's you. Because you're Edgar.
Yeah.
None of this worked, you fool. And he's like, well, I just wanted to go into hiding so I could find my castle. Also, like, can we fake my death so that my pirates leave me alone? And so all the pirates are like, no, the boss is dead. No, we've lost so much in the world of ruin. And now Jared is gone. And they leave. They leave now carrying this huge emotional burden and trauma built on a lie.
Yep.
Edgar, not cool, man. Just tell them who you are. They'll be like, oh, okay. And then be like, I'll pay you to change your ways and help me restore Figaro Castle because you can afford it, dude.
Yeah.
Instead, he just sends them off to probably do like more malicious pirate stuff instead of like,
he's not too worried about the consequences of their actions in the
maybe
world.
Maybe offer them the possibility to change their lives. You know, do some good, you jerk. Yeah, no, instead, pirates be gone, I'm dead. And so they all leave. This is a moment, Zed, where if you want to actually have some story for Saban, you can have some. Where if you've got Saban and Edgar in your party right now, which you do, and you go to like, if you go above ground on the castle, and like you're like top side of the castle, Saban's like, I haven't been home in a really long time. And he and Edgar will have this moment where they remember what their lives were like once upon a time when their mother died in childbirth with the two of them. And then their dad got sick and he died. And there were a lot of questions about the line of succession. And Saban was like grossed out by this. Like, how are we like talking about this when like our father isn't even cold? And Edgar basically like senses that Saban doesn't want anything to do with this. And he plays the double headed coin trick on him and becomes the king of Figaro. And in like the present time, Saban like thanks him for that effectively.
Yeah, I think it makes him feel really guilty. He's like, oh, so you literally just gave like you were always giving me the choice. Because he picked it was a double-headed coin, and he gave Saban heads so that Saban could choose what he wanted. Yeah. He's like, why'd you do that?
Yeah. It's like, you know, you could have been the one who, like, wandered the world and learned all the cool martial arts. And Edgar's like, trust me, I couldn't. Never going to be me. Never going to be me. It was nice, you know, get some, like, closure to the Figaro brothers story. Not that it was ever particularly like super tense, but it's just like, okay, well, that's a button on that. Good to know. Okay, well, now you've got a mobile castle. That's great.
Yeah, cool.
It really does still only go the one way. Except when you try to bring it back, it is gonna get jammed up in something. That's another conversation for another time.
It's like it's a castle shuttle.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a whole, subway line. It's
No, we're going from like Penn Station to what? Like to Grand Central. Is that how that works?
No.
Which is the shuttle? Which one's the shuttle?
It goes from Times Square to Grand Central.
That's it. That's it. That's it. Yeah. It's been a while since I've used that one. But that's basically all it does. It just gets you like point A to point B. That's fine. But point B is all you need because you go to Kolingen. Where you find yet another member of the party. There's Setzer. He's just drinking.
Oh, leave it alone.
Don't you know how bad this is? The world
I
ended.
I lost my ship.
People lost people. People lost their homes. I
people
lost my car.
People.
You know?
Too much funny girl in my life.
No. Oh, yeah. Gosh. My goodness.
Yeah. Somebody in the town is going to say that somebody's looking for an Ichigeki.
Uh-huh. Yeah, an itchy gecky.
Uh-huh.
Itchy, itchy gecky. Yeah. Yeah. What is an itchy gecky? Well, that's a little thing that could be useful for picking up another character here in the world of Ruin. But Setzer is here being like, listen, I don't know about any of this. I don't have a ship, and that means I'm useless. And Celis is like, correct. It does. But you gotta be able to know where we've got a line on another ship. And he's like, well, now that you mention it, we are at like the extraordinarily lavish subterranean tomb of my deceased lover, Daryl.
Even though I said this was the only airship in the world, yeah, and it has now been destroyed, I might know where there is.
I may know
other airship
one other airship now that you mention it. Cool. I'm not going to interrogate that much further as long as you take me to that airship.
Yep.
And so now you have Setzer in the party. And again, to reset this, you have Edgar, Celis, and Setzer, and if you got him, Saban. But you didn't need to get him. And you'll notice, Zed, when you beat the game and you're getting like the ending, the vast majority of like the scenes of the ending prominently feature those three characters.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that. These are the only ones that you have to have.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of annoying. So there's Daryl's tomb. Go to Daryl's tomb. This is a very strange haunted tomb where you buried your friend, Setzer.
Yeah.
I don't know why you buried your friend in her airship.
In this place with like a bunch of water and weird stuff.
Very strange choices, but all right, let's roll with it. And so Daryl's tomb... You can get a fairly valuable relic here. I don't know if it's still called the experience egg anymore. Did you get this thing?
I got the egg. I can't remember if it's called the experience egg or if it's called something else now.
It definitely does that.
Growth egg.
Growth That's egg, right. Sure. Yeah. You have to like solve a puzzle. You have to like etch a phrase into a tomb.
Mm-hmm.
The world is square, I think.
Oh, yeah, the world is square, but backwards.
Yeah.
Or like you learn it backwards and then you have to write it forwards or whatever it is.
Yeah. And you solve that and you can get the experience egg. I think you could just get the experience egg in the Pixel Remaster.
You definitely can, because I definitely did.
I think I did,
and
too.
And then I went back and wrote the thing in the tomb, and they were like, this is how you can go get the thing you already got. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, cool. That's basically what happened to me as well. And I was like, huh. I don't remember being able to just do that, but cool. I'm not mad about it. I just didn't remember. So yeah, this relic, you can attach it to somebody, and they can level up faster than anyone else. This was useful for me
to help somebody catch up. Maybe,
I used this to like level up just about my entire party. When like I like, and like the end of the game for me, Zed, was very much like, a scene in Rocky IV when Sylvester Stallone is gearing up to take on Ivan Drago. And it's just like a series of montages. Except instead of like running in like a snowfield, I was tearing apart dinosaurs with experience eggs attached to various different characters. It was a delight. I had so much fun. So that's one thing that you can get from Daryl's tomb. There's also other things to fight. There's like dragon claws for Saban that you can get.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is like this huge freaking monster thing that you have to fight. That reminds me a lot of, I think we talked about this when we talked about FF7 Remake. The Doulahan was like, is that what this thing is? Like this gigantic sort of like on like the chariot type of monster.
Yeah.
That you fight in like the Midgar train station, the train graveyard. I feel like these two things are connected, but.
Yes, yeah. I recall that as well.
Yeah. And so it's again, it's like, what is this thing doing here in the, like, your friend's
these room? Things all it's always the like, you know, the mounted charioteers or whatever that show up in the randomest places.
Yeah.
And they're it's like you have this giant vehicle. How did you get in here? What are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But that's what you know, you're able to beat this thing, and then like underneath like this monster infested tomb, there's a whole freaking airship.
Yeah, sure.
It's Daryl's ship, the Falcon.
Yeah, not as good.
It is not as cool as the Blackjack. I agree. There's also no refreshments, I believe, on the Falcon.
That is precisely what I mean. There is no way to heal your party. There's no item shop.
Yeah. What? No snacks? No snacks. No snacks. No items, none of that.
It's just a means of conveyance.
Very great music. Like the Falcon theme is awesome. The world map theme now is like no longer super haunting and terrifying, and now it's much cooler. because you've got like the spirit of adventure of like, you know what? Now we've got an airship. Anything's possible. We could take on Kefka. We could find all of our friends. We could do all of this. There's also like this really sad reminiscence of Setzer's friend, Daryl. We get to like see all of that play out. So that's like an attempt at giving Setzer a story.
Yeah, their it's little like airship yeah. race.
Nice try, but I remember what he was going to do to Maria. Ugh. Sorry, folks. And so they try and give him a little bit of story here. But yeah, Daryl was like his partner, and she crashed, and he spent a year trying to find her, and then he resalvaged the ship and buried it alongside buried it in the tomb for Daryl, and that was the way that he honored her. And there's some theories about who Daryl could be, Zed. I don't know if you've encountered any of those.
No, I don't know anything about that.
All right, well, we'll talk about that in our next podcast, I think. So now you've got an airship. Now you've got Setzer. You've got Edgar. You've got Celis. Hopefully you have Sabin. And now you got a bird. A bird that shows up on the deck of your ship. And you're like, whoa. Where's this bird from? What's this bird doing here? And you're like, oh, well, let me follow that, because this bird is a shining example of hope, Zed.
Yeah, of course. We're going to follow a pigeon.
Yeah.
Because we love carrier pigeons in this game.
Sure do. Yeah.
They will tell you all the secrets you need to know.
Everything. All the things that you possibly could ask for. And so the game is like telling you like, all right, well, if you need some help on like figuring out what you want to do next, this is a possible direction you could go in, but effectively like choose your own adventure, do whatever you want to do. World's your oyster. And that could be very overwhelming if you're somebody that is, bad at making decisions. I don't know who I am talking to, about that. But it's like, oh, wait, you're not just gonna tell me what to do? Like, no, you figure it out. All right. Okay. So like you're telling me that I could follow this bird. Like, yeah, follow this bird. You follow the bird, you go to Miranda, the town, and there's someone who's just been getting a shit ton of paper flowers.
They're very beautiful.
Very nice floral arrangements. And yada yada yada. They're coming from Zozo, where Cyan has holed himself up in a mountain. Where he spends his days sending paper flowers to someone and pretending he's catfishing, to be honest.
Yeah, he's catfishing as her dead boyfriend. The soldier that you were sending all those letters and books and records and whatever else for in Robles.
Not great. So...
And then he felt guilty, so he stopped doing it. And so she's worried because... The letters have stopped coming.
Yep. And so he like is like, I'm gonna be your boyfriend now. I'm gonna do it, and it's gonna make me feel better until it makes me feel like, oh god, I've taken this too far. Yeah. Don't read any of this stuff. He yells at you when you like go and like look at all of the flowers. He like, tries to hide them all. So Cyan's the first character they want you to pick up. I think he was the last guy I picked up this time around.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I don't particularly care. And especially because you have to do the Cyan's dream stuff, which I really don't like. We'll talk about that next time. But like, it's like, all right, well, if you need to know what to do, like follow the bird and that'll start things out. And so like, really, game? After all of this, the first person you want me to go and find is Cyan? All right. Okay. So anyway, that's how you pick up Cyan. You could also fight one of these fabled eight dragons in the mountains of Zozo. If you open a treasure chest, a dragon just starts flying around. Hopefully you were prepared for that, Zed.
I think the first dragon I found was in the Opera House.
Yeah.
And I was not ready for that one when first I came upon it.
Yeah.
But eventually, yeah, you start to figure it out. And then fairly quickly, they become pretty easy to take out.
Yeah. Yes. You get like more and more powerful. It's really not so bad.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of different directions we can possibly take this thing. I think I want to save a lot of that for like a big sprawling final episode of the podcast. The one that I'll say now is like my first stop when I get the Falcon every single time, Zed, is I go back to Mobley's and I close out the deal. It's like, you know what? I think I'm ready to take on Humbaba. And I want Tara to like get the fight back. And so that'll always be my first stop. You go back there, he shows back up, Tara helps you wreck shit, and it's done. And she's like in her like morphed, transformed Esper form. And at first everyone's like, scary creature. And then they're like, wait, mom, is that you? She's like, yeah, it's me. And I have a whole ass world to save now.
Yeah. Cause when you go do it early, you get like a little story battle first where she goes to fight Humbaba by herself and gets like immediately taken out.
Yes.
And then you're like, oh no, we must save Tara. And then you go to do the fight and it goes, at least in my experience, goes poorly.
Yes. Yes. But now you're a little stronger, a little sturdier. You have at least more bodies to throw at Humbaba. And this battle goes a little bit better. So Tara is now in your party. So if you've followed it through this point in time, you've got six, right? You've got Celis, Edgar, Setzer, Sabin, Cyan, and Tara. And that is half of your original cast. You could also just fly north to the Veld real quick. Why don't we just say, let's get seven. Let's make it seven. Let's just go to the Veld and just like fight around for a second. Have a spot in your party. And Gal's like, ooh, wow. I've just been exactly where you thought I would
Gal.
Be. Yeah, I'm just where I was the whole time.
Yeah.
I'll come back. There's no story that they want to do there with Gal at this point in time. Though, I'll say, there is story stuff to do with Gal if you choose to pursue it. And yeah. My gosh, it's like my favorite thing. I really, really, really like it quite a bit. Uh-huh. So we'll talk about that next time. But yeah, I mean, now it's like, okay, so the world was ruined. It was really hard to get some of my friends to decide that, okay, maybe you know what, we should try and do something about this. But now we've got some momentum. Now we've got some people. Now we've got an airship. And now if you want to beat the game, you certainly can. Or if you want to do more stuff, you can do more stuff. And I think we will do exactly that, chronicling that further stuff to do in the final episode of the Final Fantasy VI podcast, which, Zed, I believe we may be doing a special live episode of the FF6 podcast.
That is the goal.
That's the goal.
If the viewers cheer the bits to unlock that podcast, we will be doing that podcast live. That is the idea, is that we do our final wrap-up podcast for each of these games live at twitch.tv/hardrockhope. So hopefully we will see you live on the Twitch.
That would be wonderful. We're working out the details behind the scenes to see if we are able to pull that off. Either way, we'll have a really fun, sprawling Final Fantasy VI podcast coming your way in the not too distant future as we close things out here in the world of Ruin. Zed, beyond Final Fantasy VI, what's going on in your neck of the woods?
What is going on? We've wrapped Our Flag Means Death. I miss it dearly. I recently guested on the Never Ending Severance podcast, on the second finale episode feedback show, which was an absolute delight. Make sure you check that out. If you're not watching Severance, what are you doing? All the cool kids are doing it. We're playing with robots. We're having a good time. I am still covering We Crashed with Dr. Amanda and DJ LaBelle Klein. That show somehow isn't over. But we're having a really good time talking about it, even if the series itself is faltering a little bit in the middle, late stages. Harry Potter in the YA feed is on a brief hiatus while LA Kev becomes Brooklyn Kev, joining you and me here in our home. I think that's it right now.
Yeah. It's a lot though. It's good stuff. It's plenty of stuff, and so much more is happening here on Post Show Recaps. Take a gander. If there's a show that's out that you're enjoying right now, there's a good chance that we're covering it or aspiring to at the very least. Certainly talking about it in the Post Show Recaps patron Discord. If you want to sign up, patreon.com/postshowrecaps to come hang out with us there. And talk about not just Final Fantasy, but your favorite hobbies, snacks, food, shows, all sorts of delights. It is your very own, I was going to say World of Ruin, but that Oof, no, World of Balance.
I don't know that you can call it a World of Balance, though, either.
Yeah, I know. It's somewhere in between the two. There is some Kefka-esque energy to the Discord, but I think that's a good thing. All right, well, follow Zed wherever they are on the internet. It's at Hard Rock Hope. You will find them through that handle. I'm at Round Howard, at Post Show Recaps to follow everything that's going on with PSR. When we return, we will make a final push towards Kefka's Tower, picking up all the characters that we possibly can, finishing up all the side quests that we can possibly finish up, and saying goodbye to the Super Nintendo era of Final Fantasy.
Oh,
if you can believe it, Zed, it's happening.
Wow.
Yes.
We've been on such a journey over the last, like, almost year and a half now.
Quite a
Little
journey.
Did you know when you handed me Final Fantasy VII in December of 2020?
Yeah.
That here we would be.
You were so close to finishing out what I would consider to be like the mandatory canonical, like, if you're going to be a Final Fantasy fan, play these games. You're almost there. So we've got one episode left here on the podcast for FF6, and then who knows where we are flying off to beyond that. So we'll be back soon with the end of FF6. Until then, everybody take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.